The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And it's 19 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are diving into the conversation. Like we are always indicating to you, this is a platform that we dive into issues of national and international development. We are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself in Namibia and also abroad. We are greeting you. How are you doing? How are the preparation for the festive season? How you know, your new friends? How you know, people that you have missed? And some of you, you are still pushing. And we are greeting you. And we give respect and salutation, particularly to those who keep us safe. Speak about the security guards. We speak about police officers, immigration officers. Speak about you know, speak about military personnel, immigration officers, speak about medical and also paramedics to keep life going, and also those who do not knock off. We are greeting you because your work can go looking like unappreciated, but the value that you put into the society is quite valuable. But yeah, like we always do, we start with what is happening around the world. Then we come to the conversation for today to say, what is the trending conversation for today? Because today we'll be speaking about the non-banking sector. Who owns this non-banking sector? What is the connection between an ordinary person and NAMFISA? And also, what is the behavior of micro-lenders? But we're going to be guided by the report of the third quarter of 2025 to say, in terms of micro lenders, in terms of the behaviors of long-term and also short-term insurance you know, institutions, where are they standing, how much is invested in that space, and do you really understand the space of non-banking sector? Do you really understand the space of non-banking financial institutions, or we are only connected there when we speak about micro lenders, and who are the investors in this insurance, you know, insurance institution, and also retirement funds institutions, and also how is, you know, this contribute to the entire development. Now, let us start with global affairs to say, what is happening? It was stated that yesterday, the police in Spain evicted hundreds of migrants from abandoned school building in the city of Badalona, that border Barcelona in northeast, just near Barcelona there. Hundreds of migrants, undocumented immigrants, were evicted. And you must be able to understand that majority of these people are Africans from Senegal, the Gambia, and they are there outside Africa occupying abandoned school buildings when the people are on holiday just for survival. And you are also asking yourself to say, what is going on? What is going on? Why are we voluntarily submitting ourselves to slavery when 60 years ago the fight was so intense to say we want to be independent? But why are we submitting ourselves to voluntary slavery? People are suffering outside Africa. And it was indicated that many of these undocumented occupants left the squad early in the morning before the arrival of the police rail, and also to find other shelter. And it is in this context that the judicial authority of Spain has ruled that the building was unsafe, because if you speak about abandoned school building. These are the old buildings that maybe people have been using for 100 years, and they say, no, let us go and build another school. Let us leave this one. But hundreds of undocumented immigrants were evicted from there, and due to unsafetiness. But a Senegalese citizen, that is Younous Drame, who was among those who were forced to leave, said they have been hoping to be allowed to stay in the building at least until after Christmas or when the cold weather had passed. And it's heartless to evict 400 people in the middle of winter. This is the discussion from one of the immigrants. But the question is that when you went outside your continent, did you have a plan? When you went outside your continent, did you really have a plan? What are some of those pushing factors that push you to leave? What are some of the pushing factors that have pushed you to leave your continent? And was that really the best option? Was that really the best option to find yourself in this situation? Most of these people who are suffering outside Africa, these immigrants, they went there. And looking at the records, you may be able to realize that hundreds and thousands and millions of people, they leave Africa. Hundreds and hundreds are dying in the sea. They are dying in the desert. And just a matter of questions to say, can we really not take care of our population? If India, which is just one country, has a population almost equivalent to Africa, but they are dealing with their own problems. When they are moving around the world, they are moving around the world strategically. They are moving around the world as looking for investment and also to do business. But it's also a question that we should not only limit to the people from Senegal and the Gambia, just to say those who leave or who left Namibia and they are outside the continent, are they safe? Are we even checking on our people? Because a person live here to say he's going to look for better opportunities, but end up a voluntary slave, end up doing the unthinkable, and also end up also, you just hear that somebody is in trouble, or a person has passed on, but you don't really understand what a person was going through. But this issue of migration should be solved immediately, with immediate effect, especially when it comes to deal with the basics at home. And when you look at these pictures, when you look at this picture, most of these people are the young population of Africa. These are the youth. When we are saying Africa has a youth population, 70% of Africans are below the age of 30. This is an asset. But are these people having opportunities? Are these people having capacity to be able to partake in development of their countries? Is it because of war that they are in this situation? Is it because of drought? Is it because of persecution? Why are we running out of our mother continent? And when is this going to stop? It's not only them. It's also Namibians. Namibians are also finding themselves in the UK, in EU, finding themselves in that zone. And we'll be able to understand the secretary for internal affairs, or that is equivalent to the minister of home affairs, that is in UK. We gave a strong warning to say countries such as Namibia should put their house in order, especially when it's coming to the number of people increasing entering the UK, especially looking for asylum. Otherwise, it will also bring a lot of challenges, particularly in allowing, with visa, and also relationship too between these two countries. But at the center of that is movement from your own country to another country, which is not only within your continent, but also other side of the world, which consists of a lot of dangers. If you die, you are undocumented. You will just be buried in an unmarked grave. If you are in trouble, nobody can come and assist you. If somebody have violated your rights, if it's a lady is raped, it's very difficult because you also enter that country through the back door and you are the least person to be assisted. But it's a matter which need to be addressed immediately, and also not only from the people of the Gambia, but also from the people of even our own people, Namibians. You find those who are saying, me, if I get opportunity to go to Canada, I can even go tomorrow. If I get an opportunity to go to Spain, I can even go tomorrow. But do you really understand what is there? Because this is near, we see Barcelona. Barcelona is a city. Madrid is also a city. It's not only a sport team. And this event happened just at the town which is closer to Barcelona in Spain. Yeah, another news on another news also that is containing migration. Let us first look at NRSC and Christmas before we continue with the conversation.
The festive season is a time for traveling, a time to reunite and celebrate with loved ones. But most importantly, it's a time to obey the road rules. Check your tires, wear your seatbelt, drive sober, adhere to speed limits, and walk responsibly. Do the right thing and save lives this festive season. Your family awaits.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation. When you are listening to those stones, when you are listening to those drums, I'll be able to remember that Uncle Santa. Uncle Santa is busy preparing to wear his red clothes and also giving you Christmas gifts. And especially that time. And they are saying, you must let the children to believe in Uncle Santa. And that is the beauty of Christmas. That is the beauty of Christmas. And also when you are listening, at that time when you are listening on the radio, you are listening to those, Christmas songs. Realize that the time for mayonnaise, rice, and also the time for new clothes is nearby. I don't know how they do it now, but those were some of the best memories of our time when we were very young, especially the time of, new clothes, it's time of mayonnaise and rice, the times of happiness. Those are the times of seeing our cousins from towns that are also struggling to learn our vernacular language. But it's the beauty of Christmas. It's uniting people. It's uniting families, particularly when we put the minor things aside, because that is most of the time that people meet for happiness and also meet to enjoy themselves. But yeah, let's continue with the conversation. It was stated that while we are speaking about migration, a center in South Africa, it was indicated that South African authority, South African immigration officials have laid U.S. refugee center and arrested 7 Kenyans in that U.S. U.S. Refugee Center in South Africa. It was stated that a center in South Africa processing application for the United States Refugee Program was raided by immigration and law enforcement officers, and 7 Kenyan nationals were arrested for working there illegally. That was indicated yesterday by South Africa Ministry of Home Affairs. To say there are some Kenyans who are working within that center in South Africa, particularly a center which is assisting in processing application for those refugee programs for those refugee who want to go to the United States. And that is what is happening. And the Kenyans were working at the center alongside U.S. officials, despite entering South Africa on tourist visa. We did not allow them to work there. And that's why I may be able to recall very well, because the discussion of Namibia Convention Bureau, there was a concept of having code. There was a concept of understand who and the purpose of the visit. Because if you are a tourist and I find you in the Range Rover, I find you holding a mic, I find you working within a specific area, that is already a challenge, because that is a violation of the immigration laws, and that is exactly what is happening. That is exactly what is happening, especially when you look at the United States Center of Refugee in South Africa, and it's stated that it's not really indicated. It's not, the names are not yet released, particularly to those Kenyans who were arrested at, the processing, center in South Africa. Yeah, while we are there, let us look at, Vladimir Putin, and also the position, the posture in the global politics, particularly when it comes to the talk of peace, with the Ukraine, because, seems like Putin has a leverage in the negotiation of a peace deal in Ukraine, or between Russia and Ukraine, particularly that war which has happened over 2 years now, and it will be now 3 years, and thousands of people have died, and seems like Ukraine continue to lose ground every day. And when Ukraine is continue losing ground every day, they are also losing their negotiation power, due to the fact that the Western world and the supporters of Ukraine seems like they are finding it also very difficult. They are finding it also very difficult, particularly in working together and information of a deal, particularly in terms of peace. Because remember, Russia is already in Ukraine and has control over specific regions, and at the center of peace deal is that Russia to maintain that. But you look at Zelensky, it looks like he's not compromising on any land, but that is putting Ukraine at a very difficult position. When you look at the latest report, it's indicated that Putin warned Russia will extend gain in Ukraine if peace talk fails. Because Putin wants peace also, but he's stating he already has areas that he has captured, and is indicating to say, if we are not finalizing these deals soon, we will continue, we'll extend the gain of Ukraine, because Ukraine may end up being totally under control of Russia if the deals are not handled very well. Because on the other side, the United States is also saying it's not able to continue pumping too much money into the war that will not end. And here, the NATO allies were a bit not in line, or a bit not agree with the US. But in this context, they stated that speaking at annual meeting with top military officers on Wednesday, he said Moscow would prefer to achieve its goals and eliminate the root cause of the conflict by diplomatic means. But Putin said if opposing side and foreign patrons refuse to engage in substantive dialogue, Russia will achieve the liberation of its historic land by military means. When he's speaking about historic land, speaking about Soviet Union, because Soviet Union was an empire, where a lot of the countries, particularly the neighbors, who also eventually got their freedom post 1990 after the Cold War. Some of these countries, when you go in these countries, people are speaking Russians. These are former Russians land, and Putin is saying, if they are not moving very fast, especially to negotiate, Russia will be able to get total liberation, which would really be a loss to Kyiv, would really be a loss to Kyiv, because if you are cornered, there is always a room to compromise. There is always a room to compromise. There is always a room to say, okay, I understand you, and to save your people too. Because a stubborn diplomat will never achieve anything, because diplomatic engagement is a give and take, and you must also be able to understand your strength and weakness. And when you understand the position that you are in, because had it not been the support of the Western, Ukraine wouldn't be where it is now, because those who keep on giving firepower and support these the Western allies. And it also seemed like war is a very expensive business. And we're looking at the United States of America and also the change of administration. It seems like the posture of and the support to Ukraine war have changed. That is why there's quite a low momentum when it's coming to money, weapons, technical supports from the Western world, particularly to Ukraine, in comparison to the Biden administration. Because when Trump came to power, one of his ticket to power too was ending of war within 2 weeks. But we are now coming to the end of the year. Let us hope this will bring this war to the conclusion. And also the U.S. President Donald Trump is pushing hard for a peace deal to end the nearly 4 years of fighting, which began with Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. However, Washington is faced with sharply conflicting demands by both Moscow and Kyiv. We are ready to hold talks and to resolve all the issues that have arisen in recent years by peaceful means, the U.S. administration is showing such readiness, and we are conducting dialogue with them. I hope the same will happen, Putin told the meeting. Remember this year, Putin also made a historical move of meeting one-on-one with Trump, and the world hoped this war would end, because if you look at the total destruction of Ukraine, you look at people who left the country, look at the statistics of, people who died. Be able to realize that if tragedy become prolonged, even the world start to abandon it and also start to make it look like it's just normal. It's the same with poverty in Africa. It's the same with hunger in Africa. It seems like, it's just a thing with Africa, because first it started to be something that need immediate attention, to the point when you prolonged, it become like normal. When you prolonged conflict, it becomes like normal. But let's hope this will bring the end to the long war. Let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll look at the Sandek meeting. Especially, it seems like Sandek is making some slow but understandable progress, particularly when it comes to security and putting the house in order, because we'll be able to understand that Sandek hosted a meeting that is also discussing, among others, integration and also peace, and also interim chairperson, because the chairperson of Sandek ran away, not really because he wanted to run away, but because of trouble and pressure from his country, and also to say, how are we going to get back the instrument of power? Because it's never happened in the history of SADC where the sitting chair is overthrown from his own country and went with the instrument of power. Because when you are a leader, you are not just appointed or you are not just elected or appointed as a leader. You are given instrument of power. Either is document, you are given an office, you are given a report, you are given authority. But I think that was some of the discussion, but we'll look into that. We'll look into that to say, where are we standing, and also how is Sandek responding to challenges within you know, SADC region, and also what are some of the discussions moving forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onmara etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali ile kongerewa mbara etatu natu mbali o etatu batatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And yesterday, the Southern African Development Community, that is SADC, this is our regional economic body, hosted a visual extraordinary summit of head of states and government, which was held yesterday, was attended by presidents such as the president of Namibia, that is Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Daitwah, who also attended visually online. So Duma Boko speak about Felix Tshisekedi, and also Madagascar, His Excellency Keno Michael Radrianiriana, President of the Foundation of the Republic of Madagascar, which is quite interesting. It is quite interesting. I don't know if he overthrew or his, but he stated this president who is attending, and also Daniel Francisco Chapo of Mozambique, Cyril Matamera Ramaphosa, HH Malawi, Justice Jane, and with the Republic of Tanzania, United Republic of Tanzania. Mme Samia Suluhu did not attend. She delegated Obasanjo Emmanuel John Chimbi, this is the vice president, and Angola. Also, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Resuto. Zimbabwe also delegated Minister of Foreign Affairs. But what was at the center of discussion? What was at the center of discussion is at first it's indicated that the summit has also looked at the situation of Madagascar, and also noted consultation process launched by transitional government, and also indicated or engaged on political and security of Republic of Madagascar, and also assured the election to take place, particularly the election of established of government through electoral process. And looking at that aspect, so apart from now looking at that aspect, there is also a discussion about the head of SADC. So discussion about the head of SADC, and the summit is also indicated that it directed the Republic of Madagascar to submit dialogue readiness report and draft of national roadmap by 28 February 2026, and also update by May and November 2026 to chairperson of SADC again. Because what is very interesting also that those who founded, or the founders of SADC, were very, very, very smart, to that extent that the institution can operate. This technical establishment of the institution can operate even without a chairperson. It will not collapse. It's like a system that you created. Even without a CEO, you can be able to move forward, because there is what we call Troika. Organs have their incoming chair, outgoing chair, and also sitting chair. And you have the very important organ of politics, security, and also defense. And I was trying to look at the situation of DRC. It was not discussed. I don't know now if SADC have just pulled out, but the situation of this of DRC here was not discussed, but it was focused more on Madagascar. It was focused on, more on Madagascar, and also reaffirm of readiness, particularly in putting on a new government. But that is what was discussed. All the presidents, or most of the presidents, have attended, and also senior ministers, especially ministers of external relations, or what is known as foreign affairs. And there's also the colonel who is leading Madagascar has also attended. But it's quite also very funny to look at, because the aspect of Madagascar is quite complicated. You will not really say it's a coup. Will not really say it's a coup or it's a revolution, because it's a soft coup, like what happened in Zimbabwe at some point. You don't really know what really happened, but the president Rajoelina ran away. He was supposed to be the chair of this summit. But what is very interesting is also that that who attend is a colonel, and he attend in his full military camouflage, and also be able to see what will happen moving forward. Because what is very important is the aspect of peace, the aspect of stability, and also where the region is going. And one would also think the discussion of DRC would be at the center, or maybe it's already handled. One would also look at the discussion of, you know, the discussion of DRC to be at the center of that. But among others, it's also stated that it's an issue of integration. It's an issue of integration, agricultural transformation, and also you know, the issue of energy transition for a resilient of SADC. Because if you look at the presidency, that were also some of the things which were indicated. Yeah, there's an ongoing discussion on presidential task force. And it seems like the president is making moves, especially after public-private sector forum, in appointing those part of or professionals within technical you know, teams or task forces, which are appointed. We have economic recovery task force, we have health task force, you have land and also housing task force. And it's also interesting to see the young people being part of those task force, because I think the president also understood very well that it would not work without the participation of young people. And that is the mission, to say young people must be part of the table. And it's also our wish to say those who are given opportunity to represent the young people, they must not start behaving like elders. They must speak for the need of the young people when they are in those table. Because the problem with us, we do not really have a problem with representation. We have a problem of becoming. We have a problem of becoming, because once somebody enter a room, then you start discussion which are not part of you. But let us hope those young people who are in those task team will be able to speak for the need of young people within Namibia. When you speak about economic recovery, where are you starting? When you speak about health task force, where are you starting? When you speak about land and housing task force, where are you starting? And that those were some of the marching order. Because the discussion on public-private sector forum was not only a mere discussion, because after that, like we indicated, there was the summary and also the way forward. And the way forward is to come up with task force and also to conduct also an analysis on what will happen moving forward, particularly if you want to revive the economy of Namibia. If you want to deal with the issue of housing, and also if you want to deal with the issue of health, and let us hope that will not just be an appointment, but also it's going to be a tangible aspect. And I remember, I think during the administration of Kinkop, there was high-level panel on economic something, high-level panel on economic, on Namibian economy, where there were appointment of some, you know, professionals within the Namibian sector, but we are yet to see, what this task force will be. And we are also yet to see the contribution on that high-level panel. Because one thing that we also need to do is the issue of accountability. There was also an office of, I think it's a youth advisory office that was handled by Meme Desiree. We also want to see the report to say what did the office do, and maybe what is the way forward? Is that office abolished, or what happened, or that advisory is not yet there? Or what have happened in terms of the new administration, and also what was done, what can we learn from what have happened? because changing of institution is a very good thing, but changing of institution must be based on what has happened to say, okay, this is what the person has contributed, this is what his office has contributed, this were the failures, this were the success, and this is what we can do to avoid the duplication of duty, and also what have happened to other task forces, because it's not the first task force. I remember there was, I think a task force on, I think it's fourth industrialization, if I'm not mistaken, that was full of professors that was appointed by the late Dr. Genkop, may he so rest in peace. But we would want to see what happened after that. What are some of the reports after that? Or is just a formalization to say, this is what we need to do. This is who we need. But what was the practical outcome of those, task force or those task force? Because there's quite a very big difference between a task force and also a think tank, although they perform almost the same thing.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossan Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Bug Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's 7 a.m. We have understandable time ahead of us. Before we go to the conversation for today, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401, especially when you speak about affairs of, development. And there's there are some reports which are coming out, looking at the side of Zambezi region, especially in the in few days, seems like situation there. There are still, some demonstration. There are pro and anti demonstration of secession of Zambezi region, where you have a certain group of people who are speaking about secession, calling for secession of Zambezi region from Namibia. They stated that some members of UDP were also submitting a petition, so showing their unhappiness and also calling for secession of Zambezi region from Namibia. And you also have another demonstration which is also against the demonstration, and you just do not really know where are we going as a country, and when are we going to pull together in one direction, and what will this cause moving forward, and how should the situation like this being handled. And how is the process of nation building in Namibia? Because we were not supposed to be on different sides by now. We were supposed to be a country which is building a nation. But you also be able to see that, from the other side, people were saying the secession or Zambezi to stand on its own. And they are protesting, and you also do have those who are protesting too, to say we don't want what you are doing. But it's a news to look into, particularly into that area, and also to ask a question to say, when are we going to have one Namibian identity, and also what is that we did not do right, particularly when it's coming to the process of nation building, and what can we do to solve such situations? Because when somebody raises a voice, what can we do to solve such a situation peacefully, democratically? Because there is nothing that cannot be solved in that situation. And What is also very interesting about Namibia foreign policy is that Namibia historically was or has managed to solve complicated disputes. Small as we are known to be a country of solutions, especially when it's coming to critical matters. We have our records in international court. 1999, we have our records in diplomatic tables. We have our records in discussion of maintaining peace. And we are known to be a child of international community. But let us see what how we will be able to handle such a situation, because division, calling each other names, will not take us somewhere. Let's hope we'll be able to handle that situation with care and also with diligence, and move forward, especially when it comes to nation building. So let us move to the conversation for the day, especially when you're going to move into Namfisa report, and also to look at the growth of financial assets, especially when you look at non-banking financial institutions. And when you speak about non-banking financial institutions, what are these institutions doing? Who are the investors in these institutions? Who are the shareholders in these institutions? What are they contributing to national development? Because like we're always saying to say, if you have to look at the money circulating around Namibia, if you have to look at the assets in and outside the country, which is in the name of Namibia, then you look at our situation. You maybe want to ask a question to say, why these numbers are attached to us, but we are not feeling with these numbers? Why these numbers are attached to us, and we are not feeling with this number? And you're also going to look at the loan book to say how much micro lenders are owed. And also, we are also going to look at the aspect of financial education too. And also financial literacy, because our research was able to tell us to say there's quite a big difference between education, academic financial education, and the real financial literacy. And we'll be able also to know the main connector, apart from retirement and pension fund, the main connector of a poor person to Namfisa is mostly micro lenders. But we're also going to look at financial literacy. We'll look at, the impact of financial literacy to human financial management, and what are the statistics saying in comparison to last year also? And also, why are the micro lenders also not behaving, and what need to be done moving forward, especially when you are looking at a country where the economy is not equally distributed? And how can we navigate 2026? And what lesson can we learn? Because numbers should not only be very beautiful when we are presenting numbers. Numbers should be also tell a story to say, when we speak about the end of 2024, when we speak about the last quarter of 2024, speak about what is owed to micro lenders in the last quarter of 2024. When you speak about what have happened after that, when you speak about the discussion and the results of those discussions, particularly to those who find themselves in a very difficult financial situation, what did that do to an ordinary person who just got finance? That is the discussion we are going to expand. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngelo wapombwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano.
okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are connecting policymakers to the citizens. We are engaging developmental enthusiasts, and we are also making sure that what is critical is simplified, what is at stratosphere is brought to the ground, and also to make sure that people are operating at the same level. Because Namibia, when you look at information, when you look at reports, we'll be able to realize that one of the things that we must really invest in, we don't really need to invest in the best English that everybody can write and speak. We don't really need to invest in the Harvard and Oxford English. We need to invest in simplifying and also making sure that the information is transmitted and information is communicated clearly to ordinary people, because at the end of the day, is people that we are saving. Imagine if you have a high level, so advanced report, particularly, let me give an example to say from NIPAM, or a report from Bank of Namibia, or a report from, an SOE. I like giving an example of NIDA, maybe other, SOE, let me say from NAMPOWER. Or let me say NAMPOWER and NAMWATER, very high level report. But this report is not really simplified. It's only a boardroom report. How are you going to be connected to the people? Because one of the things that we have in Namibia is that we think we speak for people. You think when you are there, you are speaking for us, but you are completely detached from the reality on the ground, because what is needed is clear simplification of information. How should somebody who is in the village on top of a bicycle, taking his kids to the hospital, going to use this information? What does it mean to a student or to a somebody who's going to be a first year next year? What does it mean to a parent who is want to invest in a study policy of her child? What does it mean to somebody who is retiring? What does it mean to somebody who is insuring his car, insuring his house? And what does it mean to somebody who believe cash loan is a messiah? And also, what does it mean to somebody who want to put his finance in order? And also, what does it mean to somebody who want to invest in being a manager of micro lenders? And how can we move from there? Because if we cannot connect ordinary people to information that we have in the boardroom, there's no, we will not, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because we will not even understand each other. We will not even understand each other because we need to bridge that gap. And that is, that can only happen when you have institutional coherence. That can only happen when you have clear data. That can only happen when you have effective communication. Let's look at IMBA, then you look at NAMFISA, and move forward.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Smile if you can hear this message. You are blessed. You're alive. You may also realize that Christmas is not about the presents anymore. Christmas is about the gift of love. Your smile is contagious. It is that smile that kept everyone going at ShopRite and Checkers this past year. Thank you for your support. ShopRite Checkers wish you a fabulous festive season.
Yeah, it's not about presents only, it's about sharing of love. And Christmas and festive season is about sharing of love. And if you see the numbers of weddings, you see, especially greet those parents from Omtere to say what they prepared for real gentlemen should continue, and other parents should also learn. Because, you know, no matter the situation of the jungle, no matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times you get hurt, they are saying we should never stop falling in love, because that is what to make us human beings. Not to say how many times you get hurt, but you also need to learn to say, why were you hurt? Was it you who was hurt, or you hurt somebody? So that's why Christmas is also about celebrating love. And love is a very beautiful thing, complicated. And also can take you down if you are not careful, but should not be removed from a human being. So, yeah, you can call back because we want to hear from you. Yeah, looking at Namibia Financial Institution Supervisory Authority. When I've been looking at this institution those years, I've been wondering to say what is NAMFISA doing. And you realize to say, sometimes the work of a regulator, you only start understanding when you come closer to it. Then you understand that this is one of the institutions which is supervising and also regulating non-banking financial institutions. And when you speak about that aspect, you may also be able also to look at when we speak about non-banking financial institution, who are we talking about? We are speaking about your your insurance companies. We're speaking about your pension funds, your retirement grants. We are speaking about your micro lenders. We are speaking about your non-banking institutions. We are speaking about short or long-term, insurance companies. We are speaking about your medical aid funds. We are speaking about capital markets institution. Anything which deal with funds and is not a bank. Maybe if you have to simplify it that way to say non-banking financial institutions. And what is very interesting is that when it's coming to total financial assets in Namibia, you may be able to realize that non-banking financial institution consists of over 70% of financial assets in Namibia, which realized to say banks, they have a small portion in financial in financial assets in Namibia. Be able to say they continue to non-banking financial institutions continue to dominate, particularly when it's coming to that regard. And institutions such as Namfisa has produced its third quarter report or third quarter statistic bulletin, which is indicating to say by the end of the third quarter of 2025, the non-banking financial institution sector consists of 1,142 active entities and 15,406 registered intermediaries, which is reflecting the broader importance of the sector to Namibia financial system. Now, let's come to compliance. Let's come to compliance. Your insurance company, you are not doing your due diligence. You are not paying who insured their assets. You are a micro lender. You are not paying, or you are not certified, or you have some documents that you have not submitted. Where are these institutions standing? Looking at the simplified presentation on regulatory compliance across the sector, it's indicated that almost 60%, which is 59.7% of entities, and this compliance of 682 entities were classified as stage one, indicating full compliance with regulatory requirements. And stage one, according to Namfisa, when you are in stage one, you are in full compliance. And these are your medical aid funds. These are your retirement funds. These are your Friedrich societies. And these are your micro lending institutions, short and long-term insurance. And when you are speaking about this business of non-banking financial institution, you must also ask yourself to say, when I speak about an insurance company, how many locally owned insurance companies do we have? How do you enter into that space? What are some of the critical requirements for you to enter into that space? And who is dominating this? And how much is invested directly into Namibia? And how much Namibian people benefiting from this? And what is the contribution from the non-banking financial institutions to the Namibian development? And where is this invested into? Now, on top of that, it stated that 44.1%, which consists of 47 entities, were classified as stage 5, representing non-compliance. You know, and among the non-compliance entities, 83% were concentrated in the micro-lending industry. When it's coming to the business of micro-lending, I give you money, you give me money back in a few weeks or in months. There's always people fighting. If you go to the police station, if you go to different areas, there's people fighting. Little did they know that there is a supervisory authority that is guiding, advising, and also assist. Because if somebody give you money and say, you pay 50% with 50% interest of that money, then you look at your income, then you'll be able to realize that this is not legal. You can just go to those authorities. And the problem with us Namibians, we do not read. As Kanjengo wrote, you know, if you read the Villager newspaper for Monday, the last version of this year, you'll be able to realize that Kanjengo was true when he stated that you know, Namibians 2026, let now read more. And he stated we must read more than the Bible, which is actually not a confrontation thing, but it's a reality. To say Bible is good, but you must come to the reality also to say that wisdom that you gain from the Creator, you must use it also to understand finance. You must also use that wisdom you got to understand the politics, to understand the economy, to understand the health sector. That's why to say, let us read more. And people are always asking to say, what kind of element materials do you read? Because it does not matter. If you develop the culture of reading, you will definitely position yourself ahead of time, and you will definitely find your hobbies, and your mind will never be the same. There are people who do not like reading, and there is this aspect. It's a culture of ignorance in our community, particularly directly to our black society, to say when you are reading too much, you go crazy. It's a limitation of thinking and belief. There is nobody who died because of reading. Because reading is exercising of the mind, the same as you give food to the body. That's why I've always been giving example of educators and former teachers and pastors who grow until the age of 90 with their sharp memories. You have them in your village because these people develop the culture of reading. After retirement, they wake up in the morning, they go and buy a newspaper. They drink their coffee, they understand what is happening. The mind, even this thing of dementia, and also that mind that deteriorates when you grow up. If you read, you don't only get information, but you also are taking your mind to the gym. That is why it's very important to look at that aspect. That's why I'm saying this in line with this report to say 83% of non-compliance in this industry are microlenders who are at stage 4 and 5. And you may also be able to ask why microlenders. This, when you speak about microlenders, you speak about cash loans from like a small registered cash loans to a big established institution. And you also include those who give money. Say there's an uncle in the family with 10,000, giving everybody 1,000. Then by next month you give him 2,000, although he is assisting you, he's also robbing you, because he's playing beyond the law of lending and beyond the law of giving. Because although Namibians are allowed to get loans from cash loans, they are also protected from slavery. They are also protected from slavery. That's why in this economy, don't just take a person for granted. When a person has a payslip, then you deduct everything. You must also be able to understand that there is a body which is assisting to say, with that is robbery, with that we can also tend to scamming, because there is a certain percentage that you should charge a person, there is a certain document that you must have, there is a certain amount that you should look into, and there is also a certain asset that you must have before you get into that. You can't enter into a business, then you don't have a backup plan. And you can enter into a business and you come up with your different contracts of confiscating people's things. Somebody owe you 100, you take a person's TV. You are not registered. And those are the things. And it's stated here to say, in that line, the primary drivers of non-compliance among the micro-lenders is non-payment of levies. These people, they do not pay also levies. Persistent disregard of compliance obligation. There are certain rules of compliance. There are certain requirements that you should have. There are certain reports that you should submit. There are certain certification that cash loan must have before start practicing, because otherwise you can just start a scamming scheme with an office, but if you don't comply. And also failure to respond to inspection findings, because Namfisa is also right to come and inspect and investigate to say if you are in line, and also to assist you too. But do we do that as micro lenders? And also, while we are here, let us also not go direct to blame micro lenders. Let us also look at us ourselves to say, what level of education do I have, not only in terms of qualification, but what standard of information do I have when it's come to money, or I end up becoming a slave of my money? Everybody loves cash. Cash is king, although now there's digital money too. But at the end of the day, the same job that money is using, the same job that cash is doing, the same that digital money is doing. But what we need to put in mind, is also the content of our own education to say, for me to engage into this industry, do I have enough information? Do I understand what these reports are saying? And what did microlenders, unsupervised microlenders, did to the lives of Namibians? And especially institutions which deal with financial literacy. There must be seriousness, especially in mind transformation. There must be seriousness, especially with content. Because it cannot be correct, it's not right when you speak about you have been giving financial literacy education for the past 5 years, then the situation of Namibians is not changing. It's not correct when you have been giving financial literacy, but the number of people who owe this institution continue to increase. It's not correct when we have been giving financial literacy, but the behaviors of our people is not changing. It could be that there is something that we are not doing right. And remember, the ignorance of somebody when it's coming to financial literacy is an advantage to somebody who is continue to milk him with money. But that is not a sustainable business. Sustainable business is to say, let me teach you how to use your money. I give you loan, you pay on time responsibly. I give you more when you have a problem, then you can also be able to pay responsibly. Because if you give education to this person, it's not a threat to your business too. We need to make sure that we look at that aspect. Now, moving forward, let us look at consumer protection. It stated that the third quarter of 2025, 98 customer complaints were registered, and this represents 6.7% decline from previous quarter, but 22.5% increase compared to the same period in 2025. And in actual sense, ignore the first number. 6.7 decline from the previous quarter is not mattering anymore, because what matters here is 22.5% increase compared to the same period in 2024, which means that the number of complainant has increased, particularly when it's coming to this aspect. Especially when it's coming to this aspect of dealing with, micro lending and also compliance issues. It's not only on that ground, but also even dealing with aspect of, insurance. But ignore that first number, because if you are saying it's declining compared to the previous quarter, but increased with 22%, compared to the same quarter last year, it means that in actual fact, the complaint has increased. The space need clear regulations. The space also need strong laws that are protecting not only customers, but also those who are into that business.
And yeah, moving forward, stated that 82.7% of complaints were solved, with 95.1% of these resolved within 40 days of service agreement, and the money as a result 157,000 was awarded to customers, and the short insurance sector accorded for 41.4% of all the complaints received. In the short-term insurance, especially those in the short-term insurance, there's actually complications there. And there are always stories that people hear, especially when it's coming to insurance. And these are real stories that if you don't pay attention to contracts, if you don't pay, there are those who understand the game of insurance, then they end up playing you. They end up running away with your money too. Because don't just say, I'm insuring my car. I'm covering myself. Funeral cover, I'm covering myself. But you don't go into details what scam going on through these institutions. It might be that the institution which you are dealing with have good policies, but the people, the more experienced a person is, if this person does not have integrity, can be able to manipulate the system to its advantage. That's why when you look at the cases of insurance, look at South Africa, especially aspect of funeral covering and covering of people. Maybe you would understand there was a certain police officer who killed almost, I think, 5 people, if I'm not mistaken. Because if you understand this game and you don't have integrity, you may end up on the other side of the law. But whose fault would it be? People must be able to learn beyond the marketing. You enter something because somebody sold to you very well, but you understand what does it mean. Did you get time to sit and understand the contract? Are you winning or losing? That is what we don't do. But I think by 2026, as we advise to say, maybe we read more. Maybe we ask more questions too. Because there is this thing that not only you, but I've also experienced it to say sometimes you think you know. But when you start asking questions, you realize that you need to know more. Because pretending to know and get into trouble is the biggest mistake of ignorance and pride that will not take us anywhere. If you do not know something, if you don't understand, go and ask. Just because everybody is putting his car on insurance, you put it there. Just because everybody says funeral cover, you cover your people, which is a very good thing, but you really sit and understand and read things that are there. Just because everybody's taking a loan, you are also taking. But you understand the game of finance. Those are the conversations that we need to get into. So, while we are there, let us continue with the conversation. Let us continue with the conversation. And we'll look at the overall growth to say, how did the sector grow? Overall, stated that the NBFI, the non-banking financial institutions recorded a steady growth in the third quarter of 2025. In total asset now, they are standing at 528.2 billion. That is money that you cannot even compare them to general banks. That is finance. That is money. That is the growth of the institution. And my question has always been to say, what way, at what form, how, at what percentage this non-banking financial institution, apart from the micro lenders that we always fight with, how do they contribute to economic development of the country, directly or indirectly? And yeah, the other thing that we need to look at is also that how much money is owed to cash loans and other micro lenders in the third quarter of 2025 is 7.8 billion, represent a margin of 0.1 percentage on quarter to quarter, despite 7.2 percentage year to year increase. In that aspect, you can also be able to say that when you look at last year, the final quarter of 2024, we'll be able to realize that it was standing at 8.1 billion, but this is still a lot of money to say Namibia. Namibia, we still owe microlenders a lot of money. And loan is not a problem. The problem is your ability to pay it and what you use money for. If you are in trouble, take loan. Don't take loan to go and chill. Don't take loan to go to December and party. Take loan when your kid is sick. Take loan to go to school. That is a good investment. Take loan to start a business or to supplement a business that you have already started. Don't just take for the sake of staking. Or you take and go and dance 80% of that. That is the greatest ignorance that everybody can do. And it has destroyed a lot of young professional lives. And I'm always praying to, and also try to learn, especially with my friends, to say, what can I do better to make sure that I understand that aspect, and what information are we not getting that we only be able to get when we get old. So, good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, this is the microlender.
Mm.
Yeah, it's, I heard that there is a transformation there.
Mm.
Yeah, that yes, there are those who actually who have grown, and they are able to assist people with finance, with funds.
Mm.
They are also funding ideas.
Mm.
And those ones, specifically those who want to operate in the remote areas,
yeah,
where the commercial banks are not able to cater for, maybe because of the issue of collateral security and many other issues. I don't know how far that move is, because it's so important that when you have people here who have got money, especially even the retirement, and there are those who want to engage into business activity so that they can then have access to funding through micro-lending. And then I think I'm not so sure whether all of them, but there might be those who might have, who can meet some certain criteria to really help and assist people here. Maybe the formula will be the same way, just like the way these commercial banks are doing. Perhaps maybe maybe there might be some differences, you know, in the way they operate. But I am of the idea, I'm actually in support of that idea. If it's going to be implemented and things like that. Because you can also have, it's almost similar to, say, you mentioned of retirement. Those who are in retirement, they may have the money in the bank, the commercial bank. And there could be some, you know, could be some young ones who have got a good idea, business idea, that they can at least group themselves and get also assistance.
No, it's a very good observation. It's a very good observation.
Yeah, I don't know how maybe the registration will assist in that area, in that regard, so that the entrepreneurs who are emerging.
No, it's actually a very good thing, because what we lack, especially as black people, is entering that space of finance. Even few, apart from middlemen, apart from agencies, few own insurance companies. Few or none own banks. Because if you put the money together that Namibian have, they can have their own bank that they can also use and operate within that sector.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that space is the requirements are there, but that space is very difficult to operate in. And you're also asking yourself to say, why is it so difficult? It's only now that
there is a strategy. I don't know how it's going to work out. There is a strategy. It's very beautiful because it's called a strategy because it's drafted there. But it will be defined by the outcome by 2035 because the strategy must be able to define its outcome because it says that the Namibia financial sector transformation strategy of Bank of Namibia, NAMFISA, and also Ministry of Finance, with that aiming to allow around, 95% access to former financial institution by 2035. It can be done, but it looks like a dream compared to where we are and what we do now. Maybe it will work. Maybe it will work.
I think if it's given serious attention.
Yeah. But by who?
I think by all the robbing us, stakeholders and all these things, and the beneficial, because we are the beneficial. If the thing is put, crafted in that manner, then we can then see how those that you have mentioned are coming in to assist. Maybe there are ankles that are coming in. Maybe we just need to see how we can advance on that, on those. But because I think it will just work, because if it is coordinated very well, especially those well-established institutions like Bank of Namibia and the one that you have mentioned,
yeah.
I think this thing can help us, because for you now to have a facility in the region, in the rural area, it means that you're not able to have that until you are, because of collateral security. So I think, I don't know, honestly speaking, if you people know how, and they can also provide a lot of information on these things, and maybe see what the kind of portfolio that we can avoid.
Apparently, you must read by 2026, you must read more. If we have some time information we have, then we must just read more.
Yeah, exactly.
And people who put information in document, they assume people read, but we don't. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome, sir.
All right. Yeah, it's 46 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving. We are moving with Early Morning Scoop. And looking at that aspect of non-banking financial institutions and there are new few, development, particularly when it coming to financial assistance, especially to the unbanked, those who do not have access, those who do not have accounts, that they will be able to get loans, and they can also be able to save their money. There are a few, initiatives, but, you are just asking yourself to what extent, because we will still come back into the circle to say, even if you give me money, how do I use that finance? How should I navigate the critical market that can also benefit from my ignorance? What content of financial literacy are you going to give me? What are you going to do differently? Because I still have a serious problem with somebody say, I conducted financial literacy education for the whole year without coming out and give a report to say, this was the impact. These are the people who went through that training. This is what they do. There is, I have a serious problem when somebody say, I contacted ethical integrity workshop within a certain institution. But looking at that aspect, there is no results out there to say, this is what happened to these people after I gave them this workshop, or you were just consulting for formality, or you were just consulting for, satisfying somebody's KPI. You need to conduct the 20 trainings within the year. You just do for the sake of doing it. But did you really look at the content of, the information you are giving? There was a time I asked one gentleman, I think it was
in charge of this financial literacy initiative of the Ministry of Finance, I was asking to say, now, Chief, what are you going to do new? What are you going to do new? Looking at the current circumstances, to say you have been doing that, you have been doing that to even government officials. You have been having programs around the regions. But it seems like are people not hearing, or your method is outdated, or you are not touching to their nerves? Because if we cannot evaluate our education system, if we cannot evaluate what we give, we will just continue to say, no, we even train 20,000 young people on entrepreneurship. What are you training them on? Who are training these people? How can I go train people on entrepreneurship if I do not even, I was not even in that space? How should I train people on financial management if I don't have anything in my account? What does it say to my conscience? I may be educated in that, but do I have practical knowledge of how things are being done? That's why it's not only in the space of non-banking financial institutions, it's only in the space of financial accessibility and literacy. It should be at a general perspective of education itself to say, what should I evaluate? What content of education do I give? We have teachers who are educated at colleges and universities, but do we go and evaluate them too? To say, can I give these teachers a test after 2 years at work, after 2 years in the industry? Can I give them a test again to say, to see their competency in the way they do things? Or they are just there beating children and gossiping? Which should be done in good faith, not really to speak bad, but should be done in good faith to say, what we do must be evaluated, and we can't do anywhere without data. And I have a problem with data not being presented. I always have a problem with data as not being presented, because we must rely on data. That's why when you speak about statistics, when you speak about STEM industry, we must rely on data to innovate and develop. Otherwise, we'll be sitting here, 2030, we have a discussion of what we would have done, or a discussion of blaming people, because there's always a scapegoat somewhere. Observe very well. When an institution is not doing well, when a certain program did not do well, there's always a scapegoat to say somebody was in charge of that. But how are we doing? How are we dealing with things? So, dear listeners, it's 51 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at non-banking financial institutions. Let us look at the short commercial break. Then we will continue with the conversation, and we will also conclude and give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day and continue with engagement. Because, you know, money, as we are always saying, has never been part of our economic foundation. We just jump from barter trading to money. There was nothing in the middle there. From barter trading to money. Money that you do not know who made it. Money that you do not know the value of making that money. And also money that you don't owe the bank that you are saving it in. And also money that is invested in assets that 90% of your population did not invest in. That is how the economy is operating. And also that is where we need to look from there. And looking at this, there are people who like information to go and debate. There are people who like information to go and blame. But the sake of information is to get information so that you can learn. And when we learn, we are not going to do the same mistake again and again. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we'll continue the conversation.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwa ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu honda doinawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima.
Yeah, we are moving forward. And before we conclude, there is always 10 facts or facts that... We need to look at all things that we need to look at, especially during the festive season. Number one is your safety. Make sure that you are safe, especially the ladies. Make sure that you know the guy who is buying you that brutal fruit or that savanna, that hunters. Make sure that you don't get too excited to somebody that you have never met before. Because festive season, it's a season that will come out with a lot of things. You will end up in a bag somewhere, in a container somewhere. You will end up, being violated, maybe raped, maybe killed, maybe beaten up, or maybe losing your properties. Right? Especially the young women. Let us not be too excited. Yes, you are young and you are attracting a lot of attention. But your safety is very important. Let us not go on with this story. No, I met this other guy and all these things. It's festive season and safety must be priority number one. If you are going out at a place that you do not know, always go with your friend. Always have an emergency number that you have. And always communicate. There is nothing interesting about these tricks of surprising people or not knowing where you are. Because these are some of the things that, especially young women, let us put in mind safety. Number two is know your limit. We know we are young. We know we move from place to place. We see people are different. There is somebody who can sit at a place consuming alcohol that you don't even know. I don't want to say it's a tank, but somebody, but he is focused because these people, they don't have same mind, they don't have same blood. But you, just 1, 2, 3, then you start promising people's job. Bring your CV, bring your CV. I have a way, I have connections. And you start doing the unthinkables. And it's a world of social media. And people end up taking you a picture. People end up making a video of you. Talking things which are not making sense about your HR while you're on holiday. But when January comes, that is a reputational damage and you already said things that you would not say. And the other thing is also holiday relationship. Love is not accidental. Let us also make sure, you know, especially men, there's this thing of, if you don't speak about this thing, bring the man on us. Why when you get so excited, we want to touch people? Let us be focused, gents. Focus on the money. Focus on the game. Because, there is still 2026 waiting for us. And, accidental love can also bring, accidental events. Yeah, that's why, that aspect of gender-based violence. It's always been emphasized to say, especially this time, you are too excited. Then you end up mixing up things. Then you end up in a triangle love that also let us advise each other. And also, gents, when we are sitting on tables, don't feel like you don't belong to that table. Don't be scared of bringing up a conversation that can assist you. You can bring up a conversation to say, guys, give me advice. Sometimes excited people can give you right advice. give me advice. I have this certain situation. Can you kindly assist me on this? Instead of just looking at conversation which do not matter. Yes, it's good to be excited, make jokes, but there are time to say, where should I get these people? Guys, give me advice. What do you guys do? You are a finance guy. You are a social worker. You are an engineer. Give me advice on this. How should we navigate this? And the other aspect is drinking and driving. There's always Michael Schumacher somewhere, somebody who want to be or Lewis Hamilton, particularly when he's excited. How can you go on car race at 1 o'clock when you're arguing with your uncle? Your uncle is saying, no, my 2.7 can overtake your Mercedes-Benz E63. You already know it's not going to happen. But just because a person is excited that, and don't race at 1 o'clock, don't race at all. And there's also an aspect of to say, just be careful and read people. There's always somebody who is not happy with you, and that is life, and you must be good with that. There's somebody who is not happy with you. And to avoid unnecessary harm, avoid the commotions, especially this time. If you see that a person is trying to try you, avoid commotions, because it's festive season, and anything can happen, and we want each other. We want each other in January, and also to look at this Namibia, how we are going to handle it, and also how we are going to move forward. So, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and I'm leaving you in the good hands of the Big Mike to unpack the day. Shop, shop.